Happy Sabbath to everyone. It's a nice day. It's nice to be here. The Sabbath is a blessing, and happy to have any visitors here with us today. A little over a year ago, we discussed the seven pillars of wisdom and found out that they consisted of, and if you look at this, as I handed these out, many said, I've seen that before. Yes, you have, a year ago. But if you look at your handout now, at the side I'm showing you here, we found out that the seven pillars of wisdom consisted of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God for us, and the wisdom of Solomon. And the wisdom of Solomon is what we need to successfully live in this world, where the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now, several months ago, we went over this again. But in that instance, we talked about seeking first the righteousness of God. But then we found out that the righteousness of God is the wisdom of God, which is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God for us, and the wisdom of Solomon, which God gave to us to help us live successfully in this world. Today we will seek a deeper understanding of the fourth pillar of wisdom. And if you look at your handout, under the wisdom of Solomon, I have diligence. 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 Now let's start by defining diligence. It's a steady application of effort to accomplish a task. Two, it's exerting oneself to fulfill what is undertaken without unnecessary delay. And three, it is acting with great care and effort. The word diligence comes from diligo, a Latin word meaning to love earnestly. The purest diligence results from having an earnest love for what you do and the purpose for which you do it. Other definitions, such as strong exhaustive concordance, defines diligence as, number 2742, eager, determination, number 4106, quick, hasty, ready, 4929, to guard or to watch, and 7836, earnestness. Next, let me introduce to you my mnemonic on diligence, which we will use today as our outline for the discussion. So if you look at the back of the handout, you will see a mnemonic, diligence. But if you look down the left side, you will notice the word diligent spelled as well, with definitions. Diligence, doing intelligently life's issues with godly edifying now, with total commitment. I'll read that again, but it's on your handout. Doing intelligently life's issues with godly edifying now in total commitment. As we go through, I'll explain. Now, I don't know any better story of diligence than the story of Noah. Let's turn to Genesis 6. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, Noah was diligent in his life, as we read in verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So if Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he lived diligently according to God's will. The reason why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, we read in verse 9, this is the genealogy. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. So he lived diligently according to God's laws, he found grace in the eyes of God because he walked with God. Now again, I don't know any better story of diligence than the story of Noah and building the ark. If we look at verse 22, there in Genesis 6, it says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." So when God gave him instructions to build the ark, he was diligent. He didn't take any shortcuts. He didn't try to figure out how I could do it different. He was diligent. He did all that the Lord commanded him to do. Now, that diligence, doing the right thing, even if you don't understand why it's the right thing, that diligence is important in getting through life. It is what got Noah through the greatest catastrophe ever to hit the earth. Now, what the Bible does not say about Noah was that he had great wealth. But if you think about it, he must have had some resources to spend the time to build or hire the people to build, to get all the supplies to build, and then to furnish, and then to stock the ark. It was a big boat. So he must have had some degree of wealth. So the key to Noah's success, spiritual, physical, and financial, was diligently walking with God. As we learned last week, Mike said, to be successful, at least the biblical examples he gave, Abraham, Job, Noah, walked with God. To lead successful lives, we need to know God's will for us. Let us turn to Ephesians 5:17. Ephesians 5:17. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is." So we are commanded to understand and know what the will of God is. Let us turn now to 3 John 2 to find out the areas that God wants us to diligently walk with him. 3 John 2. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers." So God wants us to walk with him spiritually, in good health, and financially as well. We'll expand on that a little more, but God wants harmony in our lives. He wants us to have a sound mind in a sound body led by a sound spirit, his spirit. He wants our lives to be governed by principles that are not only interchangeable, but work in harmony and create harmony in our lives. Sound physical and health principles can have spiritual and financial implications and applications. Throughout Christ's ministry, he used physical objects and situations to teach spiritual lessons. Sound spiritual principles can have physical and financial implications and applications. And sound financial principles can have spiritual and physical implications and applications, as we see in the principle of tithing, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We read that in Luke 12:34. Now, alluding to 3 John 2 again, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers." God wants us to grow spiritually. This can only be done by being diligent. And that is, as we saw, doing intelligently life's issues with godly edifying now in total commitment. God wants us to grow in health. And this can only be done by being diligent, and as we saw, doing intelligently life's issues with godly edifying now in total commitment. God wants us to grow financially, and this can only be done, as we saw, doing intelligently life's issues with godly edifying now in total commitment. Now, if you find that I'm repeating, repetition makes it stick. So when you leave here today, before you go, there'll be a test. Sure. Now, since God uses spiritual growth as the standard that he wants our physical health and financial health to measure up to, obviously our spiritual health is of primary importance. And there's where we need to concentrate our efforts. And that is where we want to focus today as we seek to understand diligence. So let's look at the first word, doing. Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Let's start there. 1 Timothy 4. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So Paul was commanding Timothy to exercise diligence. And that command extends to us, doing. These are things we need to be doing, and these are things we need to be doing diligently. Now let's go to the next word, intelligently. And if you turn with me to Proverbs 27, 23, and it says, be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herds, for riches, verse 24, are not forever. Be diligent to attend to your flock. Now the principle here is diligence. So just as God wants us to be diligent in attending to our flock, our financial affairs, he wants us to be diligent in attending to our spiritual affairs. And obviously, he wants us to be diligent in attending to our physical affairs as well as it relates to health. Let's just look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So, the only way we will fall is if we think we stand and are not diligent in paying attention to our spiritual state. It says, look to your flock, the state of your flock. Look to your spiritual state and take heed lest you fall. Now let's look at the next word, lives. And turn with me, please, to Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, the issues of life, as we saw above, is what God wants for us in terms of his will. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. He wants us to be in health. He wants us to prosper. And he wants us to be financially sound. So keep your heart with all diligence implies keeping your heart in terms of your mind, in terms of your will, in terms of your approach to life with all diligence as it relates to your spiritual life, your physical health, and your financial life as well. Out of it are the issues of life. So the next word are issues. And in 3 John 2, the issues of life are the issues that God wants us to be concerned with, is the issues that he is concerned with for us. And in 3 John 2, we read, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Spiritually, let's turn to 2 Peter 1:5 and see what that tells us about diligence in our spiritual life. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For in these things are yours and abound you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are told to give all diligence. Here again we see the word diligence to these things as they pertain to our spiritual life and growth. As far as it relates to our physical health and well-being, let's turn to Proverbs 23:1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies. And the principle here is, you have to pay attention to your health. You have to pay attention to what you eat. You have to pay attention to how you eat. You have to pay attention to how much you eat. And you have to pay attention to the quality of what you eat. And as it relates to our financial health, let's turn to Proverbs 10, verse 4. He who deals with a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes one rich. So, diligence, the hand of the diligent makes one rich. And we can look at this again throughout the spectrum. The hand of the diligent in the spiritual sphere of life makes you rich spiritually. The hand of the diligent in the physical realm of life makes you rich or healthy, because if there's no health, riches don't matter much. So the hand of the diligent in your physical life makes you rich, healthy. And in the financial sense, the hand of the diligent makes you rich. Now turn with me to Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings, he will not stand before men. The King James Version says, do you see a man diligent in his business? He will stand before kings, he will not stand before mean men. Now we talked about the example of Noah in ancient times. The best example that I can think of in these times of the application of diligence in all areas of his life was Herbert W. Armstrong. He was diligent in his business, and he stood before kings, literally. He was diligent in his spiritual business and was truly a spiritual giant. He died, many regarded him as a modern-day apostle. He was diligent in the business of health, and he lived a long, active, healthy life. He died at the age of 93. He was diligent in his business life, and obviously he lived successfully and was able to do a lot of things in life that many people are not able to, and so God blessed him in that area as well. Now let's go to the next word, with godly. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and we'll start in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Here again we see the word diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, that I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes, oh, do not forsake me utterly. So here is a list of godly principles that David kept diligently, and they're written here for our learning so we can incorporate them in our lives and work diligently at perfecting them in our lives as well. Now the next word down is edifying, and we can turn to 1 Timothy 1:4. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So we are told things not to do, but in contrast, we are told what to do, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, our next word down in that word diligent, the next mnemonic application is the word now. And if you turn with me to John 9:4, John 9, verse 4. And it's Jesus speaking here. He said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." Jesus Christ did not only give us an example of working diligently, but he also worked with a sense of urgency. Now, the last word down in our mnemonic is total commitment. Total commitment. And here we turn to Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All diligence, total commitment. There's no room for anything. Keep your heart with all. All means all. For out of it are the issues of life. Let's expand on that a little bit, because the two components of diligence are fervent and faith. Now, if we look at our handout sheet where we have the pillars of wisdom, if you look at the word diligence under the wisdom of Solomon, you look above that, you see the word hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's fervency. Fervency. Above that, under the wisdom of God, you see the word faith. So the two components of diligence are fervency and faith. Well, let's look at fervency. We just saw in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst. Now, have any of you ever been hungry? That consumes your mind. That consumes your thoughts. That consumes everything. You have to find food. There's nothing else that matters. Thirst is even more acute. We've never had to experience that, I'm sure, but there are places in the world where there's drought and thirst is an issue. And someone who is suffering from thirst, that consumes his entire being. That's, he needs to find water or he'll die. So when we are told, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, we need to find righteousness, or from a spiritual standpoint, we're going to die. Let's look at James 6:16. And I have James 6:16. I'm not sure if there is a James 6:16. But basically, well, you know, the gospel according to Burkle. But basically, I was looking for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Chapter 5:16. Thank you. Yeah, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. here again, the effectual fervent. And if we think of fervent in the sense of hungering and thirsting, from true hunger and true thirst, then we know how we need to pray. And if we pray with that fervency, we are promised that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at Psalms 42:1, how David described this. Psalms 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. When the deer is out in the desert and it's hot, and he's been searching and he can't find a pool, he's panting and he's desperate and he's looking for water, or else he's going to die. And David declared, as the hart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Fervency. Now, the second component of diligence is faith. And in Hebrews 11:6, we all know that verse, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, we might as well not even try. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then let's look at Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. So if we maintain our faith and don't give up and don't faint, we will be blessed. We will reap. We will achieve our goal of being in God's kingdom and of living righteously and successfully in this life. Now, as we approach the holy day season and continue in our walk with God, here are three things we must do. Let's turn to Exodus 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. And said, if you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases, and so on. But what God wants us to do is to diligently hearken to his voice. Diligently listen to what he has to say. Diligently ask, like Paul, when he was struck down on the way to Damascus, Lord, what will you have me to do? We never get an answer to the question we don't ask. So if we don't ask that question, we will never get the answer. God wants us to diligently hearken to his voice. We need to ask him to speak to us. Next, turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. And we all know that verse. We've discussed it just now. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So God wants us to not only diligently hear his voice, he wants us to actively, diligently seek him. Now, in conclusion, I always give you a story of mine. So if you don't mind, I'll give you a story of mine. You've heard it before, but I'll approach it from a slightly different angle. Many years ago, I came to this country and I wanted to go to medical school. And I had all kinds of strikes against me. But using the principle of diligence, and I'll just give you a quick example. I had done all the things I needed to apply. I had done all the things I needed to prepare. I'd even gotten an invitation for an interview. Well, when you go to an interview to medical school, what do you do? Well, I don't know. No one ever told me or taught me. But I tried to read everything I could. I tried to talk to everyone I could. I tried to get all the information I could. And I thought of all the potential things they would ask me. And I wrote them down. And I wrote the answers down. And I refined the answers. And then I memorized the answers. And then I practiced them in front of the mirror every day for months, diligently. So when the time came for my interview, was I prepared? Yes. Yes, I was. Okay? So let's close by looking at 2 Peter 1:10. What I did by doing that diligence was striving to make my calling to medical school and my election sure. So if we turn to 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.